Pleasure to be with you here today. I'm going to do two talks back to back, but very different view of the world when it comes to cotton production. The first, we're going to talk about mechanization of cotton harvesting in India. Sarini is not the person that really put these together. Fumiko did the modeling work. I did help on the primary data collection earlier in India and help work with Sarini as he put these together. And none of this would have been possible without the support of Cotton Incorporated and Jeannie Reeves. And you here, Jeannie?
I am.
Good. So any questions you have, you can direct to Jeannie, because she was kind of the ringleader as we troops around the world over the past few years. So we really appreciate the continued support of this. Before I get started, I want to give I don't know that this has happened since you've been here, but I'll give you the California cotton outlook. 150,000 acres of acala, down 18% from last year, is what we expect this time for next year. 250,000 acres of Pima, which is down about 8%. So what we've seen in California is farmers that are still in the business are moving in and out of it based on price expectations. So I don't know how much California has been talked about, but we're still out there growing cotton. It's just not like it used to be in terms of size, that's for sure. So let me get on. What we tried to do here was, this is part of an ongoing program we have to look at other cotton growing areas of importance to the industry. There's so much concentration on China. I think if you sat through the meetings this year, it was almost as if there was nothing else going on but China. China controls this, China controls that. Well, as economists, we were taught to look at the margins. So let's look at these things that aren't China for a minute and see what kind of importance they might have in the future. India is the second largest producer and exporter of cotton. It's a competitor of us, of the U.S., in international markets, particularly in China, because of its geographical location. It has recently come into question in terms of it being a reliable supplier because of export embargoes on shipments at some times. We're seeing increased domestic use as well. There's more domestic use in India and Pakistan and some other areas than there used to be. So the degree to which that cotton that they are producing is moving into the international markets is sort of a jerky thing, up and down depending on market conditions. Low productivity, by and large, low yields are the norm across the producing regions. It's very high labor-intense cultivation practices. The only exception to that is the initial land preparation. We're beginning to see, as you've noticed in China, this idea that there's a shortage of labor due to industrialization in various areas. That's happening. Again, you can think of India a little bit, or at least I do, as a lagged China. Everything there seems to be just a little bit behind what we've observed changes in China as being. Depending on where you are, that lag period is greater or lesser. But you are beginning to see industrialization suck away some of that labor that was available for field work in the past. So you're beginning to see interest in mechanization. Now, where that interest is coming from, whether it's demand driven or supply pushing, we don't know. But I think it's an idea that many of the international firms are looking at this and saying, you know, well, I don't think this is gonna be able to continue, or is sustainable, to use a word of a choice these days, in the future. So let's get started on trying to look at what mechanization might mean, try to introduce how mechanization works in India, and see if we can make some inroads early on. So we had some help when we went to look at this from some of the dealers. But this just gives you an idea of India's importance in terms of the world's cotton production. And when you think about it, it's the second largest producer of cotton behind China. And I'll use these numbers in a little bit, but industry estimates for increased production should mechanization become a reality in India is 35%. Think about that a minute. If you've got an India that's now producing 35% more cotton, that's a lot of cotton. That's a big effect. Now, when that occurs, we'll talk about it as well. I don't think that's, you don't have to run out and change your marketing plans just right now. And if you look at the export side of it, again, it's the U.S. is the dominant player, but India is right there among the big three that come in after that. And you'll notice the little green grease, which we'll talk about next. What we did was to revisit Gujarat and Maharashtra, where we had been 2 years before, I think. So where this was a follow-up. We went into the field and visited with producers. This is much like, Jay, I don't know if Jay's still around, but it follows the model that we've done for all kinds of specialty crops in California. I come from Texas A&M, so I come from the representative farm sort of orientation where you visit with local farmers to get an idea of what's really going on in the field versus what is your baseline information from, in this case, government production statistical information that's available. And what we usually find is, and at least every time I've been involved, you find that there's a difference between what the government is telling you in general terms and what we see on the ground. So we try to meet with as many of these groups as we can. In this case, we had three focus groups of about 7 to 12 farmers in each state in different locations around the state. And then we also had backup help from John Deere and BASF in really getting a handle on what's going on in terms of the demonstrations and trials, input uses, and things like that. So we had real good, I think, primary data collection and information on the ground. It's the methodology we use to look at the representative farms is Scimitar, stochastic yields and prices, and the changes in key variables and what it means for the probability distribution of profitability. Things you've seen in many presentations in this conference so far. Again, we were in Gujarat and Maharashtra, the two largest producing states on the western side of India. We've also done work in the southern areas of, and these were produced or presented last year, actually. So you can go back last year and take a look at the information we collected in the southern provinces as well. Again, it's very labor intensive. When you've got that much excess labor to use, it doesn't go to waste. India uses extensive hand weeding in their plots. They hand plant the seeds. For the most part, what we see is a good field would be divided into 1 meter squares, and the seeds are planted in the middle of those squares, and they're hand fertilized with a ring of fertilizer around it. What we do see is the beginnings of technological innovation or adaptation. We see drip irrigation. This picture in the upper right-hand corner, you can see in the background the animal agriculture plows being moved through there. So you've got sort of a grand mixture of different technological applications. But for the most part, it's still very labor-intensive. Mechanization used to move that field up the first part, and then the rest of it's done pretty much by hand. And you'll notice, if you note the distance between the plants, because that becomes very important when we talk about the effects in a minute. You see that's just a better picture of what I had up there in the corner. You can see the drip irrigation between the rows and then the animal agriculture with the ladies behind it in the background. We meet with the farmers directly, either in the fields or in local. It's like it'd be like an extension meeting anywhere in Texas, but in this case, we're doing the same sort of activities out in the field in India. And this is unfortunately not an untypical scene in a village in India. The infrastructure is far behind China at this point, I think. Places that we've gone, this is not, like I say, out of the norm at all. It's more the normal situation. Where I was talking with Fong Bin last night, and he was talking about the completion of the farm to market road system in China. That hadn't happened in India yet. In fact, I don't even see any trucks lining up to build it. So that's going to be something that comes back in a quick. But I got to run. I'm running out of town. So what we did was we went through and we built budgets based on the information that was provided to us by the Indian farmers in the groups that we met with. We based our we had an Indian budget, if you would, that's provided by the government of India, and then we tried to compare and contrast what was actually going on with our focus groups as compared to the Indian data. The yields here are in seed cotton, so if they look kind of high to you, that's the question. You've got to kind of back that off by about, what, a 35% yield out of that seed cotton if you want to talk about lint. The prices, again, are seed cotton prices. They translate, I think that average translates to about 88 cents a pound lint was what they were getting. And then you can see the revenues and the gross profit. So what this is their traditional farming methods. So what we tried to do was just take a look at, and really the only mechanized activity in the current systems is when you go in and initially plow that land, and that's usually done by custom operations, much like what Feng Bin was suggesting in terms of the adaptation of the large tractor in China. So currently, it's all labor except for land preparation. So we've got some trials going on over there. They're using small two-row cotton harvesters. They're cotton pickers. There's not much support. This is really being introduced by the large international equipment companies. For the most part, they seem green, if you get my drift. But there's a lot of change that has to go on in order to have any of this stuff adopted by the farmers. The attitudes of those farmers have to change. And right now, the government, as well as the private sector, is trying to figure out what can we do to affect that change and promote adoption. The major change is higher seed rate. Everything keys on the fact that you're going to get about three times as many plants out there as you do when you're doing it by hand. And that's the key to the positive change that occurs as a result of mechanization. That's where you get this expectation of higher yields of 35%. It's tied to the density of planting, for lack of a better explanation. If you look at these two pictures, for example, that's Gujarat, India planting, where you've got 1 to 2 plants per square meter. And that's a row, typical California cotton row with 2.5 plants per foot. So you can tell, right? I mean, if you can get that crop to grow in India and harvest it, you're going to get a lot more cotton than you would if you do it conventionally. But it's also more expensive, right? The revenue that you get from it comes at an expense of additional seed cost. You have to use defoliant, which they don't do now. You have to have some kind of extra cleaning. But they get higher yields and higher revenues. $244 per acre is what we average. And again, we use the Scimitar stoplight sort of stuff to just give you a visual representation of what would happen. This is the current practice. They're doing pretty good in terms of their ability to turn a profit on cotton production. But if they could get into the mechanization, it goes up, we figure, about 19% in terms of return. But again, that's based on just the initial trials and the results that are coming from very limited applications. So it's just a glimpse of what might be there for them in the future. If you look at it in terms of numbers, just a couple of years looking at it, it talks about an increase from $419 per acre in the baseline to a stream income of about $536 if you had the mechanization, which again is tied to higher yields because of the planting densities and a little better quality from the picker than the multiple hand picking. So in the conclusion, higher yields and higher expenditures prices are going to play a really important role in this. If you got lower price expectations, as we sort of see in the future, you've got a slower adoption rate given everything else is equal. We think it'll probably be regional. Farmers in Gujarat seem to be more progressive than in other areas of the country where we have been. And it's going to require education and management to adapt the agronomic practices that are necessary to accommodate mechanical harvesting should it come about. It's going to take changes in farmers' attitude. It's going to take government support, particularly extension of credit and somehow getting that money available. Maybe it's custom harvesting, but some form of change has to occur in order for any of this to go forward. Likely it'll take the road of equipment manufacturers becoming credit dealers would be my guess. And then it's going to really take just many years for all of this change to occur, because if you look at India, if you spend any time there, you realize that there's a lot of basic needs that still have to be out there. The need for reliable power, for example. If you remember not long ago, the giant power outage that occurred there, it was like a third of the world had no electricity. Currently, the farmers in India get, if they're lucky, 8 hours of power a day, but they get it whenever they get it. So they may get 2 hours in the morning, they may get 4 hours later, they may get a call at 2 a.m. that says you're going to get 8 hours of power. So if you can imagine trying to run an irrigated cotton operation when they call and tell you you can turn the pump on and off, let's get that fixed before we worry about whether we've got cotton pickers out there, green or red paint, doesn't matter. So I kind of think we're talking about the horse before the cart, no pun intended here, but it is a glimpse into the future, and the future will be there. The question is how soon and when and how widespread.
All right, thank you.
Okay. We'll take questions after.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to get a question right now.